Well, every now and then, it's good to stop and look, isn't it? You've got to stop and look and ask yourself, are we making progress? If you are trying to lose weight, you'll realize it's a good thing to find out whether your kind of, you know, reduction of intake or exercise or changing your diet is actually working. You jump on a thing called a scales from time to time and you look at the dial and it says, am I more or am I less? Am I progressing? True? If you're saving to go for a nice big trip overseas, you want to maybe go to Surfers Paradise and catch a few waves and pick up some cool clothing or something like that. You need a couple of grand maybe to make it happen and do it with real style, with my jacket like vest, you know, style. And you want to go, what do? You check out on your app or your online, or you actually old school, go to the bank teller and say, please tell me my balance. You've got to look at things. There are dials there to tell you, am I making progress? For those that are married, anniversaries are often good times to go, so how are we doing? Not quite like that. That's kind of very manly, but you know what I mean, like dreaming, talking, have we grown in the last year? Is there any issues? Are you feeling neglected? I mean, I don't know. There's times when you stop and you need to look and you need to think and evaluate, are we making progress? Is that a good thing? Is that a good thing, ladies and gentlemen? We don't want to be like the zombies just walking through life. We don't want to be like the mouse on the wheel that does and thinks, what am I actually doing this for? We're not here just to kill time. We're here to actually move forward. So today and into next week, this is our time. Every year, around about this time, we stop and we ask ourselves the question, are we progressing? Are we being true and honest to the call of God on our church? It's a good thing to do, isn't it? Absolutely. And so we're going to do that. And if you have only been in church for the last 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, you'll know that we normally do this in April. This whole organization runs by a financial year. The reason we don't do the stuff in January at the end of the calendar year is because you all are at the beach having a good time. Me too, by the way. So it's crazy to do the stuff in January. Kiwi culture, forget January, man. It's just hanging out, summertime, jandals, you know, flip-flops down the beach, enjoying life. Then we get back and it's kids in school. So we put it around about the end of March or early April. But this year it's been bumped because of the conference. So here we are. It's important to make vision clear. Did you guys know that? We believe vision should be clear. And there's two really reasons why. Number one, it provides direction. Proverbs 29:8 says, where there is no vision, the people dwell carelessly. Or other translations say, they perish. Okay, but where there is no vision, my version here says, the people are unrestrained. They just kill time. They're ambling. There's no real direction. They just, whatever feels good. And so vision brings clarity of direction. And the second reason why vision is really important is it provides momentum, motivation. I don't know about you, some of us in here are goal-orientated, like carrot, you know, go for the carrot. I'm a bit like that. Some people don't like that. They like to just kind of organically, is the new kind of buzzword, you know, just kind of go through life and just see what happens. I'm absolutely not like that. I like to make my time count. And maybe because I'm getting older, I've only got a few more years left. I don't know. But praise God, the Habakkuk 2:2 says this, it's in the Bible, write the vision on a tablet, praise God. I've got one of those. Write it on a tablet. And it says, make it plain. Aren't you glad about that? I'm a plain sort of person, honestly. If it was super intellectual, I wouldn't get it. But it says, write the vision, make it plain. Look at this. So that he or she may run with it. You can only run with something and get momentum and energy when you buy into it, when you know, you understand, you're not only you're intellectually, but in your heart, there's an emotional connection to where we're going and what we're doing. I remember when I was about to be a father for the first time, man, did I run with it. I was excited. I couldn't wait to go down to baby shop and buy different bits and pieces, and we'd talk about boys' names and girls' names. Didn't know if we had a boy at the time. Just talking about things. Yeah, there's a bounce in my step. I was looking forward to meeting my child because I had a vision. I had something coming that was not just here, but in here as well. And so it's good that we stop and we look and we clarify and we make plain. I don't know whether you guys ask that question. Why do I even come here? Why do we do ENLI? Why do we have connect groups? Why? Of course, you don't want to be one of like those people that are always going, why? Just shut up and do it. You know, you want to sort of say, but we can't say that in church. That's right, you just did. Hallelujah. Okay. So right off the bat, we need to do two things. Here we go. Use your slide clicker here, Richard. Boom. Two things we need to know. Who we are. We are a multicultural, multigenerational, multivitamin, socially responsible church that makes disciples. We're multi-everything, multi-sports, multi. That's us. We love diversity. That's who we are. We don't have a vision statement as such. I actually don't like them. I think vision, mission, what do they really mean? We just say who we are and what do? Let's get plain. We are multi, just look around you. We are multicultural, right? Are we not multi-generational? That's why I personally love seeing the children in worship. I love seeing cradled to the, you know, to us older people with a few gray hairs. A few, I said, not a lot, a few. Easy, eh? Don't be judgmental, okay? So young to old, we want that. We like that. We're not a youth church. We're not an old people church. We are spiritual family. We're multi. Second thing is, what do we do? What do we do? Hallelujah. We honor God. Can everyone say honor God? We honor God by planting churches. Sorry, by planting. Someone was messing me up there. Churches that redeem campuses and communities throughout New Zealand, Aotearoa, and the South Pacific. I have a burning desire. I will not stop to try to plant churches in New Zealand in particular and assist our neighbors in Fiji and in Australia to collaboratively work. I hear Pastor Ulu talking about other islands. How can we be a part of that? How can we support that with money or with people? But my particular leaning is in this nation of New Zealand, which is going backwards so quickly. That's what we are. We honor God by planting churches. Honor of God is paramount. Not the honor of Richard Urban, not the honor of every nation as a movement. The honor of God is the beginning and the end of all things in this house. Can you give me an amen? Planting churches that redeem, not passive. They redeem, they rescue, they restore, they take back in the community and campuses right across our nation. That's who we are and what we do. Okay, next question. The million-dollar question. Are we making disciples? Is that a good question to ask? Heck, man, we talk about it a lot. We talk about the D word all the time. Are we actually doing it? That's why it's good to stop and have a look and ask ourselves. And I want to show you just some information there. Yeah, I'm not going to apologize, but they're graphs. They're actually numbers. They help. You know, like your scales and like your bank account. Yeah, numbers are really nice when you've got dollar signs in front of them, eh? Some reason, some people think you can't do it in church. What a ridiculous idea. There's even a book in the Bible called, thank you. So I'm right into numbers. No problem, because guess what? Every life counts. Every single one life counts. Praise the Lord. Here, okay, let's look at the first one, just real quickly. Okay, and every nation told on you, you've got some papers down there. There is our average Sunday attendance with children in the last 3 years in our existence as a church. It has progressively grown. We have now officially broken the 200 barrier. For those that are into ecclesiology or understand church planting and church growth, there's an international glass ceiling called 200. Doesn't matter what culture you're in, what tradition you might be of, whether it's conservative, radical, you know, whatever, contemporary Pentecostal, there's a science and an engineering sort of almost an equation that seems to sit this 200 barrier, and we've broken it, praise God. We smashed the glass out of the ceiling. In the last year, we've grown by 18%. In the last 3 years, since 2014-15, it's been a 40% growth. Praise the Lord. Let's just zoom down a little bit and look at children's ministry. Hallelujah. Children. Beautiful children. Strong growth. Look at that even more so. And once again, around here, we always encourage big families. Okay, let's move along. Hallelujah. Right. So kids' ministry has grown real strong, nearly doubled, up 30% from last year. You will notice Every Nation Tauranga, you've got your own little box color there, because they have begun last year, only October. Only October. We're super proud of you guys. Only October. And now they're adding numbers and growing. Praise the Lord. Okay, number three. Connect Group. Boom. She has grown exponentially last year. And the main reason for that, you may not know this, but there's about 50 to 60 people that don't even come here on Sunday, but they go to Connect Groups. That would kind of fill that last section over there, those empty seats. About 50 or 60, lots of Connect Groups. 412 had a whole bunch. Paul Cabardo, Flora, Dunch of Connect Group, ENC, reaching students at AUT and Auckland Uni, and they don't even come here on a Sunday morning. But they're under our influence. They're doing the one-to-one. They're going through discipleship. Of course, we want to get them here, but we've got to play the long game sometimes. There are cultural things that come into that as well. And you'll notice ENT, you're not up there yet, but you will be when you start Connect Group. So good gradual growth going on there. And can I just say, for us all, both congregations, Connect Group, I'd like to suggest to you, recommend to you and encourage that Connect Group is the first place to take people who don't know God. I think that's the best place. We've talked about this as a leadership team. Sunday morning is primarily for people who know God, love God. We learn the word of God. We worship corporately. And of course, visitors are very welcome. And if people feel more at home to do that, by all means come. But with an environment like this, from musical style to multicultural elements, all kinds of factors and nuances, sometimes a local connect group is a better place to find authentic relationship. They could even be in your own tongue, your own language. You know, here we encourage English because it's the universal language. We don't want to put any walls up. But in your connect groups, you can have whatever music you want, long as it's Christian. And you can talk whatever language you want, long as it's clean and holy. You can, you know, you can just, you know what I'm trying to say? It's the best place, I believe, to really connect. And when they begin to form a relationship, then they're probably ready to come into this kind of environment. Is everyone clear about that? So there's much more greater opportunity for cultural context in a connect group. Let's move on to new members. Just quickly flicking through here. There we go. Excluding children. Children come under their parents from youth and up. They're the numbers that we record. Okay, this is again just ENAC only, Every Nation Tauranga. You'll be coming online as you do membership. 144 new members since we started, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't that cool? If you were inducted into membership in Every Nation Auckland Central in this building, if this is where we stood you down here and we prayed for you and we received you, can I ask you to stand to your feet? Don't worry about everyone else. Just stand up. If you received membership, anybody else? Look around. These people are not here back at AUT over the shore. You can take a seat now. Thank you very much. We're glad you're part of our team. We're glad you're part of our ministry and part of our family. Let's look here at salvations. Do I need to be looking at that or can I just point up there? Okay, number of salvations in the last 3 years. Well, the first year we didn't even record salvations. Shocking, I know. The second year was much higher, as you can see. And the main reason for that is we had about 20 salvations or answering the altar call for the Easter production, which we've not repeated thus far. Also, we went through a chunk of time last year we didn't record. People say, oh, they want Jesus, they got tears, and that's great, but then they never show up for follow-up. So for a chunk of time there, we said, let's not even bother recording it until they show up for one-to-one. And I think we made the decision that was not the right. We needed to actually record that so then we can follow up the follow-uppers. And so we're just getting our systems all organized. That is partly the reason why we have got a lower number there. But 46 salvations, praise God. And guess what? I'm looking for my numbers right here. But did you see yourselves here? Every Nation Tauranga, you are up on the screen. Praise the Lord. I'm looking for the numbers. Where's my numbers? What is that roughly? Five? I think it's five salvations in Every Nation Tauranga. Isn't that great? Five lives changed and transferred. Okay. Moving along quickly. Water baptisms, and again, these are the only ones recorded. Sometimes people decide because they're too cool for school, they've got to do their own thing. They'll just go down to the bathtub down the hall, and mama will do it, and that's it. We don't know about those times, but those ones that we do out here or beaches, wherever, we're aware of it, we whack them in there, and we say, praise the Lord. But very unfortunately, that has gently been declining, which is why we're doing disciple makers, which is actually also why we are completely reigniting youth ministry in our church. It's why we're making changes in community. It's why we're making constantly looking at campus and connect. Because baptisms is a public confession of allegiance to Christ. That is the high point of my ministry in this church, is water baptisms. Praise the Lord. That's why we're doing it. So we're concerned about that. While we've grown, the number of new salvations or the number of baptisms have been gently declining. However, that is 16 new people that got baptized last year. And that's brilliant. Amen? 16 is better than 10, better than 3. Isn't it good to know? Praise the Lord. So look at this, just a quick snapshot over the last 12 months. There you go. There's our dials right there. 18% growth, Sunday attendance. Kids church are up. Connect groups are up. More new members, more salvations, more water baptisms. All everything. Everything has grown, praise the Lord. You know, in the 1 Corinthians 3, there's a ridiculous situation that occurred. Paul basically says, can you please all like just grow up? What actually happened was they broke out an argument about whose daddy was the biggest daddy. Not really. They talked about whose pastor was the best pastor, which church was the best church. And Paul, some were saying, oh, I'm with Paul. I mean, I'm following Paul. He's my discipler. And someone else said, oh, I'm following Apollos. And he's my discipler, and my disciple is better than your disciple, my pastor. And there's a little war that broke out, a little fight in church. And Paul says, hey, stop it. It's God that brings the growth. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, who then is Paul? He's talking about himself. Who am I? Who is Apollos? But we simply ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God who brought the growth. He says, I am nothing and Apollos is nothing. It is God who brings the increase. And I thank God for the increase this morning. I thank God that he's touched your lives and hearts. I thank God he's saved people. I thank God he's answered dreams. I thank God he's answered prayers. I praise God he's healed people. I thank you, Jesus, that you've invaded our lives. I thank you, God, you've restored marriages. I thank you, you've given hope to young people. Are you awake this morning? It's God. This gives me great hope because if God brings the increase, that tells me that God is with us. It motivates me. It gives me confidence to stand here before you to know that God is with us. And he's blessing and he's growing and he's enlarging and he's expanding. Hallelujah. The church should always be advancing, ladies and gentlemen. The church should grow. 89% of churches are in decline or flatlining. Churches and ministries should grow. God is with us. His blessing, his divine favor is upon us. The unity of our staff and our leadership. Not one division, no issue. We've got our personality quirks and our culture nuances, but we've got an environment that can all come to the table and we work through it and we all grow through it. I love it. I feel so strong. I love what Jesus said about the church. In fact, his church. He says, I will build the church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. It cannot withstand. With the pounding against the walls and the walls that contain people, with the pounding and the pressure and the relentless pulverizing of walls that bind people, the church will advance. Hallelujah. It is strong. It is resilient. The church is beautiful despite the criticisms and the divisions at times. The church is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his girl. It's his bride. And it's his plan A for everybody. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I, Jesus, will give you, the church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, the church has the authority of heaven. We, the church, not institutional church, not the organization, the people. The church is the people. You have authority. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he rose on the third day, and if you confess your sins and you declare Jesus as Lord, you have spiritual authority that make even the demons in hell tremble. If we would but be in one place and one time, one heart, fashioned together with a clear vision and move forward together. Oh, I believe in the local church. Does anybody else believe in the local church? We are commissioned and called to move forward, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We never retreat. Never retreat. We're a family and an army of people pulled together, young and old, of all the colors of the rainbow, come together and we move forward. We bring our resources and our time, and thank God we celebrated volunteers last night. Family, every nation Tauranga, every nation Auckland Central, it is time, I believe, to stretch our faith even more. It's time to even more intently trust God, dream big, and give our lives to the cause of planting churches that redeem campuses and communities up and down our land. Auckland, Tauranga. Next week I'm going to tell you about two more cities on the radar. I want you to know about it. I want you to be a part of it. I want to meet with you, talk with you, hear your heart. We are unapologetically going after leaders, key leaders that we can send out, raise up to see churches planted. Strong churches, growing churches, lordship churches, family churches, leadership development churches. This is what I've had in my spirit for a while now, is that the first 3 years have been about establishing. It was a new leadership, new name, new pastors, new elders, new staff, new venue. Everything was new. Exciting. We're able to, obviously, for those that have been around, we were previously Every Nation North Shore, part of Every Nation Auckland Morning Star. So it wasn't a complete new church plant, but it was more than a relaunch. It was just like a new everything. And it was exciting, and it was important that we provided security and we provided stability and consistency. And thank God, in every year that we've been alive, we've grown. And just in case you didn't know, in the church world, 10% is great growth. 10% a year is great growth. In fact, they say beyond 10%, you should get a bit concerned because your infrastructure, your systems, they can't cope. God, both years, we've had 40%, average of 20% in the last 2 years that God's brought because of your generosity, because of his blessing and his divine favor. I believe it's time. I really do. I believe we're shifting from a season of establishing to a season of expansion. I can sense God turning the dial up. Not so much that we have to work harder, but simply being open to him doing more, trusting him more, believing more, and giving more. And I believe God is saying, go for it. Go for it. Run. Do all that is in your heart, Richard. Do all that is in your heart, Every Nation Tauranga. Do all that is in your heart, Every Nation Auckland Central. And God is saying, I am with you. And that was crystallized for me personally at the conference. A fresh missional thrust in my spirit. It's time for us to expand. So today, I want to reveal to you 7 faith goals that we as a church are aiming at for the next 12 months. There are many other goals, but some of those you're not very excited about. New software, you know, whatever internal stuff we're going for, but things that should relate to us today, things that really are our top seven goals. And so now, once again, I think it's important to have faith goals. It's okay, the big vision, when we have Vision Sunday, the vision never changes. It's all about honoring God and making disciples and planting churches. But every year we stop and go, are we making progress? Now, every nation Tauranga, not all of these goals are directly benefiting every nation Tauranga, but I assure you, every single one of these goals eventually will bless you and strengthen the church and enlarge the church. And so thank you for your patience as we go through these. And these all came out of our strategic planning. This is not Pastor Richard eating too much pizza and just coming up down the mountain, you know, with the golden tablets. This is actually dialoguing, asking the hard questions. I'm a team guy, I'm telling you. I'm just not that smart to be on my own. We spent hours, retreats, elders, 5C leaders or key leaders, staff, what do you think? What's going on? And so out of that whole process over the months gone by, here are the top seven goals for every nation, Auckland Central, every nation, Tauranga. Click there, that's right. I just like to make sure it's happening. Oh, there it is. Okay, so we have a numerical goal of making 45 new disciples this year. Just if you didn't know, we share the gospel probably with hundreds of people. It's like a funnel effect. Share the gospel with hundreds. Some receive the gospel, then they don't turn up to church, don't want to get baptized, backslide and leave, and you end up with what we call disciples. Jesus said, go and make disciples, not make decisions, not make church pew warmers. He's talking about making disciples. And so we internally, this is not so much in the Bible, but we have defined a disciple as someone who is saved, someone who is water baptized, and someone who is added to our church. Praise God, we can send them off to other churches if that's where they need to be. We're not competing. We're not, you know, we realize there's the church, but we're a local church, and my assignment is to help grow this local church. And so I kind of, you know, I kind of prefer this church, frankly. And so we try to usher people here, but if they were to go down the road, no problems. Let's talk to the pastor, make it happen. And so we're not here to populate all other churches. I'm here to grow this church. And so we've gone for 45. We've got 10 from campus. Pastor Weeong and his team are focusing on making 10 disciples with the help of the Lord. Community, 4. Connect, 18. And this year, we've got a first time. We've included a target for children. 8 children, we're believing, to become disciples. But I need to make a side note. With children, it's baptism and it's salvation. We don't require them to do the DNA course. They come under their parents. So we've made a little change there. ENY! We're going for 5 this year. Hallelujah. A young man by the name of Jacob gave his life to Jesus. I had the privilege, me and Ethan. Who else was there? Karina and Aaron. We were there. We led him to the Lord on Friday night. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Jacob. Mama's a Colombian. Daddy's a Kiwi. I love it. He's obviously coming to the right church. That's right. So 45 disciples. And we're going to have faith goals for every nation told on the next year. It's just been too early to bring them online. Fantastic. Second goal. Oh gosh, over the page. Sorry. Establishing 28 connect groups. Why? Because everybody wants authentic community. So as the church grows, we must grow our connect groups. Otherwise, we just have a big back door. Nice front door, big back door. We circulate people. That's not what this is all about. Of course, there's a back door. There should be a back door. But we don't want people to walk out that door because of just lack of connection. They can leave it for all kinds of reasons. We're not the only church in town. There are probably churches around that do things much better than us. Of course there are. We're running with what God's called us to do. And so we want to get people into vital community, into connect groups. Number 3, these guys are going to be happy about that. No surprise here. We are going to reignite. Why is that not happening? There we go. Reignite our youth ministry. We're doing it already. And why do we do it? Because you guys, Ruleen and Paul, what are you doing there? Are you Yuffie as well, eh? Yuffie. Because you guys are super important. I said, you guys are super important. Youth has really not been strong for a little while now, and it's my joy to get involved with a great team and really make that strong. We've said it a million times, they are our future. And I can tell you what, the devil's going after them. And so we're going after the devil. And so we're partnering with parents to build a strong, Christ-centered, discipleship connect youth ministry with connect groups, by the way. We have 6 connect groups in our youth ministry on a Friday night. Number 4, launch new disciple-making tools. Again, why? Because we're serious about the Great Commission. This year, we're starting Disciple Makers. For those in Disciple Makers, there's 31 people. Get this, guys. This just blows my heart. The Hub, just down the road, is full of people on a Thursday night. 31 people have paid money to come to the Hub and learn how to make disciples. That encourages me. It really does. We're just breaking things down, making it real plain in our context, in our culture, how to make disciples. No copying and pasting around here. We've developed our own materials, learning from others, adding our other stuff, taking stuff out, and building our own so we can penetrate our culture. Thank you, girl. I didn't pay for that, did I, son? Disciple Makers Foundations is coming at you. ENLI is starting next year. It is going to start next year. Praise the Lord. Now, 3 more goals to go. And I think we're good for time. I need to set these next 3 up because these were really fueled by a scripture found in Isaiah 54. The Lord really grabbed my heart and said, Richard, are you happy with 18-20% per year? Do you want to see expansion? Do you want to see growth that you couldn't imagine? Do you want to see what it's like when you mobilize the whole church to be ministers in their workplace? Isaiah 54, and let me set this up. And Isaiah is actually an incredible book. Many refer to Isaiah as the Paul of the Old Testament, full of prophecies and allegories and metaphors and prophetic songs. You really do need to have Bible tools to really understand Isaiah. And in chapter 54, God speaks prophetically through Isaiah, and he promises growth and breakthrough. And the way he does it is he uses the metaphor of a barren woman. Now, in those days, in the ancient Near East, almost the worst fate that can befall a woman was not to have children. Because they couldn't work, and they were outcasts, because of provision. There's all kinds of cultural reasons of the day why you would never want to be a woman without a baby. And God uses that metaphor. And it's a metaphor of Israel. And if you open it up in chapter 54, he's saying there's fresh hope was arising for growth and expansion, that more fruit would be coming and more growth would be coming. And he says in chapter 4, verse 2, here we go, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand on the right and expand on the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. He's prophesying about a woman without children, and he's saying, I'm going to fulfill my promises. I'm going to enlarge your descendants. There's going to be so many people coming to your home, you're going to have to enlarge your house, enlarge the walls. In those days, it was a tent. You can see the cords and the stakes and the roof. He's saying, enlarge. There's increase coming. Expansion is coming. Hallelujah. This has got into my heart and my spirit, and the time is right, I believe, to take 3 bold steps as a church. Number 1, we are going to buy an investment property. Hallelujah. An investment property, absolutely. Let me explain that to you. And here's an indicative picture right here. We may go for that, we may not. If you remember, I'm just going to forget that right now. This is the last 2 years we've done 2 miracle offerings over and above tithing. First year we did it, we got $40,000. Thank you. Church was small. The church was smaller. 40K came in. Last year, that was more than doubled. The church didn't more than double, but the offering more than doubled. It came in at $86,000. This was based on our original seed money of 55 when South and North separated the account. 55 added the 40. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have $200,000 sitting in our account because of your generosity. As that money's been coming through, we have had Mr. Dan Oliver under the financial board going off and checking out and doing extra work that David and Kim Cost did in the early days to find out what would be a sound investment. There's crazy investments or high-risk investments, and there's conservative. Thus far, over the years of our existence, all of that money's just sat in a term deposit in the bank, and if we take inflation into consideration, we're probably going backwards. So it's a very poor investment leaving significant sums of money in the bank. Dan did all the hard work. The financial board looked at it. We all agreed. We submitted it to the eldership. They all agreed. We're all in one mind, heart, and soul that the best investment for us is to build and to lease out a commercial building. In addition to that $200,000, we also have another donor outside of our miracle offering program who said, I'd like to give you $100,000. So we have, that's on its way. It's probably about 6 or 8 weeks away. We're expecting to have $300,000. That is more than enough. We've already had pre-approved finance from the bank. So we're doing it. We're going to have dirt that we own, property that we own, get a long-term lease in a commercial building, unlike residential. You sign them up for long-term, they pay the mortgage, and the capital value increases. If you didn't know, capital values on commercial, very similar to residential. So that's very, very exciting. But wait, there's more. We're going to give you a set of free steak knives. Hallelujah. No. Okay, that's the first bold goal, and guess what? We're looking for that property right now, and we'll let you know about that when it comes. We're not a property development company. Let's be very clear about that. We're a church. We're putting money in the property so we can grow our wealth to then be able to ultimately get our own building and own that building. And we've just got to be smart with property, smart with finances, praise the Lord, so we then can strengthen ourselves economically for our plants. And we could buy buildings in different cities around the country and use those as tools to help make disciples. So we've got to grow our wealth. I'm really, really proud of the financial board. I'm just very, very glad we've got Dan Oliver on board and a great financial board and a courageous and wise eldership team. So that's what we're going to do. The second big, bold goal that we're going to do is we are going to create our own church home. It is time now to consolidate, I believe, all of our operations from worship center to office to training. I think it's time now for us to actually have our own place. We don't own it. We're going to have to lease it. We're going to fit it out. We're going to set it up, a place that we can go to, we can call home. We've done our homework. The combined renting of these two facilities, plus about 40 to 50%, we can do it. We've done the budget. We're working it through. And so we're believing by the end of this year, we will be in our own place that we call home with our signage, our place. We're looking for 500. Maybe someone out there can help us today. We're looking for 500 to 700 meters. We want a 200, 250, 300 seater auditorium. We believe as a multicultural church and the way that God is building with us, we don't want to just go for one service with a massive auditorium. We need to have multiple services with different flavors, particularly as campus and youth begin to rise up. We're wanting a place where we've got our own customized children's church facilities where they can come and it's colorful. There's screens. It's all laid out. We can reduce our demand on volunteers. Hallelujah. We can stop abusing our gear by constantly ripping it up and putting it down and bringing it up and putting it down and ripping it up and putting it down. We can have our own auditorium with an outstanding atmosphere, lighting, sound, stage, productions. We can do that. A reception with lounges and couches and sound and atmosphere where the Spirit of God is there and we can lounge around. I don't have to rush off out of here. Hallelujah. We can look at doing multiple services. Yes, we can have the community come there. I'm looking at having, praise the Lord. We want to have a cafe. Praise the Lord. Why not? We should. I think it's a crime to have these buildings empty every day of the week except Sunday. I think it's a sin. We need to have English lessons running there. Why not free? What about a daycare? We can utilize our children's rooms during the week. Not only make money, hallelujah, but engage the parents and the children. Run parenting classes, mainly music, dancing, whatever we can do to have a multifunctional purpose building, and we want it right here in Auckland Central. Prayer meetings, worship rehearsals, we can lock the instruments down, get our sound problems sorted out, and actually go to a whole new level of ministry. Praise the Lord. Woo! Yeah. Praise the Lord. It will help us reduce the need for volunteers. It'll reduce wear and tear on our gear. Wow, is that a wrap? I could sell that to Lecrae. Wear and tear, okay. Provide stability and reliability. Stop renting venues. Just having our prayer meetings, I think we've got four different venues, ABC Church, Victory Church. I mean, here, we're like the blooming Israelites, man. We're everywhere. Wouldn't it be nice, instead of paying their price and having to play their game, we could actually have our own building. We'd love to have it close to public transport, right by the State Highway 1, somewhere like that. You can bus in, you could train in. That would be cool. Wouldn't it be great to have a car park that we could rent out to people? Okay, so praise the Lord. A place called home. We can do it. We're not abandoning our brain for all the business people. We've absolutely got faith in one hand, stewardship on the other. We're doing our budgeting. We're working it out. And after, when Alfred gets back, the work begins looking for a facility. I'm looking forward to working bees. I'm calling you out, tradesmen. I'm calling you out, people with technical expertise, building a stage, buying our chairs, carping it out, painting it up, getting our sound right. Beautiful sound, not just in the auditorium, in the foyer, worship playing, proper reception, a nice little welcome area with muffins and real good coffee. I mean, we can do it. Can we do it?
Yes.
We can do it. Bob the Builder.
We can do it.
I can make a great America great again. No, no, don't go down the political. Okay. Getting a bit carried away now. It's good. It's good. It's good. But here's the thing. Great endeavors require great sacrifice. I'm asking you today to join me and the leadership to give a miracle offering once again. I've already mentioned about the miracle offerings that we have already given, and I thank you. Because of your generosity, because of the growth and the blessing of God on this house, we can now buy. It's not even a statement of faith, it's a reality. We have the money in the bank, and there's another 100K coming to the bank that's committed, 100%, and it's going to be used to buy a building, and it will be positively geared or at least neutrally geared. It will look after itself financially. They'll pay off the mortgage. The capital growth goes. The mortgage declines. And in 10 years' time, it's freehold. And we own, I don't know, $1.5 million, $2 million property. And here is actually what the fund looks like. Oh, by the way, the seventh goal is to start a second service. We are, what are we now? What month are we in? My hope, my plan, we get the building by November, December. We'll have to double there and here for a while, get the place fitted out. Working bees, pull together, put on pizzas, have a lot of fun, build our house. People in the community will know. And early next year, I'm hoping by March, April, we will start a second service. I think it's important. We've agreed it's strategic. We don't know when. It is almost certainly, I will go out on a limb here and say it will not be a cookie cutter on a Sunday morning. Same preacher, same message, same songs. It needs to be, in our context, different and a different flavor with multiculturalism. So we're going to be, it's going to be a really interesting discussion, maybe even a debate and a few uppercuts. We're going to figure that out, whether it's a Saturday night or a Sunday night. Who knows? I don't care what night, what day, just do it. Those 50 or 60 people that we talked to, when we get a second service, I'm telling you, adding services causes a church to grow. There are people that would be here today, but they can't because they've got to go to the they've got to go with their parents somewhere or go to Mass. But if we do a Saturday night or a Friday night, we can gather them all. We can influence them and bring them to Christ, introduce them to a thing called Lordship, and let God move in their hearts. And so the church will grow even more when we do that. And so that's what we're going to do, and we look forward to talking about this. That's the seventh goal. Second service, it will be happening before this time next year. Praise the Lord. Does that sound good? All right, so graph. Let's get to the graph. This is what it looks like. Okay, 55K sitting right there, plus your 40. That was your total fund. Up we go. That there's a 100,000 pledge. This is $150,000. This year's goal, ladies and gentlemen, is $150,000. Can you all say 150? That's a lot of money, isn't it? It's a lot of money, but I want to tell you something. The elders, the staff, the financial board, the senior leadership team have already made their pledges. And I'm glad to let you know that collectively already we have pledges of $40,000, just 22 giving units, which, by the way, include two children under the age of 10, who combined have given $200. We've already got 40K. We as a church out of our general fund, we're going to plonk in there $10,000. I'm here today to ask you for $100,000. Will you join the leadership of the church who have already stepped out into across the Jordan River, as it were? We've already stepped out, made our pledges. We're giving $40,000 plus the tens of $50,000. We need 100,000, just 100 people who would give $1,000. If we bring that money in, we can do it. And here's the thing. The first use of that money will be the setup and the fit out of our new building. It's not going to sit in some bank somewhere. The first priority will be, what do we need in our facility? It's going to be fun. We're going to have some creative design. We're going to have some sort of help some of our creative people to get that looking real sharp. If we can bring in $150,000 and get technology right, we want to do this right. Amen? Multifunctional thing. We get marriage seminars and big tables and romantic evening. I don't know. We can do everything that's in our heart if we bring in the $150,000. We've already got the $50,000. I'm asking, will you pray? Will you believe God? Will you extend yourself and be generous? Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, and expand. And this time next year, we can have it. We've dreamed it. We've talked about it. We've prayed about it. Do you want it? If the money doesn't come in, we're not doing it. We can't do it. We need the money to come in. And so I'm asking you if you would pray and join us to do it. We actually have come to a point where we can. For many people, they will give their donation rebate. If you're new to the country, very quickly, any donation that's made to a charitable organization, 1/3 of it is given back to you by the government. If you claim it. If you don't claim it, they don't give it back. And so all you need to do is claim it. And so some people want to give way above that. Some want to give a portion of that. We're not going to manipulate. We don't do that. I just simply want you to pray and obey God. In some cases, it's going to be radical. God's absolutely challenged me. See, Richard, when was the last time you gave until it hurt? Until you actually wondered, where's it going to come from? He's challenged me, and we've done it, and we're doing it. Because I believe in this church, I believe in the vision of this house, I believe in Every Nation Tauranga, I believe that God wants to go to all the major centers of New Zealand, and I'm prepared to lay it down and do it. I'm prepared to put my money where my mouth is. Will you join me? Will you join the elders and the staff? I know there's much pressure on our finances, but if we'd constantly take a consumer attitude to money and not invest for the future, we're only going to be consuming. So we've got our miracle offering. We've got our collection happening on the 25th of June. Of course, you can give early. Some people have almost broken down the door saying, I want to give right now. I said, absolutely, give online. Just reference it, miracle offering. And by the way, you get a 30-year miracle offering back next year anyway. It's brilliant, eh? Welcome to New Zealand. We love it. It's awesome. Praise the Lord. Is everyone excited about that? I am. And I trust you are as well. Ushers, can we please run around right now and hand out these booklets? We just, for some people, they want to see things in writing. We've got our 7 goals there. Got some information for you. But let me just talk about, while they do that, quickly just go around, just hand them out. Brilliant. Please don't make paper darts out of them because you'll hurt my feelings. Okay? And Gloria will clobber you around the head because she went to a lot of hard work to make that. So donation rebates, if you didn't know, they're available and up there on the table. I know about half of you have already taken your donation rebate. Awesome. The rest of you, it's up there, and please grab that. Again, you just have to claim your donation, just claim it from the government. You need to produce the receipts. Where is Grace Hahn? Is she here this morning? Grace, can you stand? Okay, can everyone just look at Grace? She is here. She is your little helper, your little genie. She's an accountant. She's on our financial board. She will be in the book table to help you. We've got forms, and she will give you advice on how to actually go about that. Thank you very much, Grace. Please collect your tithing receipt, but I'm just so humbled. I really am, and I'm holding back the emotions this morning about God's blessing on us as a church. We had over 100 people there last night for our church. We only have a few hundred, couple of hundred adults. We had 100 there last night. The volunteerism's high, the number of people that tithe, the miracle offering is just off the scale when many of us are under financial pressure. I want to honestly say thank you so much. I want to say thank you to you, Lord, for trusting us with people's lives, trusting us with a vision, trusting us to look after every nation told on her. I thank God for his generosity. And ladies and gentlemen, together we can see the beautiful gospel preached up and down our land. The Māori call it te rongopai, the good news of the gospel. The truth can be preached up and down our land, and disciples can be made. Teenagers can be reached. People can be stopped from suicide. People can be released from their addictions. Marriages, lives can be restored. Dreams can be answered as we give and we invest and we build and we grow and we expand. We can do this together. I look forward next week to telling you more. Every Nation Told On are going to do their own thing next week, but I want to tell you more next week. Some key, other key information that's pertinent to ENAC. I hope you can come. I hope you can enjoy.